Michael Feldman here with a special edition of What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. I would personally like to invite you to join us as we roll out our 30 years in the quiz business celebration, Funny, You Don't Look 30, a series of classic, if not significant, rebroadcasts and other events to be named Belying Our Not Much Reputation. After all, 30 years times 40 shows is pretty much. You? What Do You Know, the show, the concept, the je ne sais quoi, began in Philo Buck's studio, Vilas Hall, 7th floor, on June 1st, 1985, back when $2 would get you a gallon of gas and a dozen eggs. Not or, and. John Tooling, my personal piano player, was just 30, but already didn't look it. Announcer and so much more, Jim Packard still had the second job at Burlington Coat Factory in Urban Men's to make ends meet. I had just returned from a brief stint at WGN where, when asked by a caller which exit to take on the Stevenson, I suggested they get a map. Oh, well. What Do You Know was literally my comeback since I had done a couple of shows on WHA, the last being the literally named AM Saturday from the Club de Wash in the dearly departed Hotel Washington, new transients every day, in Madison. Times change, people change, but What Do You Know? Not so much. What Do You Know sprang from my head like Achilles leaping out of Zeus's ear. No miracle, more the three things that I could seem to do on radio. Free associate under stress, walk and talk on a microphone simultaneously while keeping both parties off mic, and provide donuts. The quiz was there so I could talk with listeners about things of no consequence, hot button free. Jim was not intended to be the George Fenneman to my Groucho, but it sure seemed to work out that way. And John Tooling was there for musical fill. I mean, to showcase jazz piano. And because I promised his mom I would always have a job for him. One thing that didn't last long was a hands-on segment towards the top of each show. We bowled in Buck's studio, I walked in high heels with a modeling coach, had a belly dancer on, and all I could hear were the coins jingling. Coming up, Jim Packard gets up close and personal with the town of the week, Albion, Wisconsin. Hope you enjoy, and thanks for listening.
I love this story. This has got everything. It's got basketball, it's got religion. This is out of Milwaukee. Rabbi Herbert G. Panich of Congregation Beth Israel revealed that his name was forged on three black American basketball players' conversion certificates, which allowed them to play on Israeli teams as Jewish citizens. Isn't that amazing? This is actually true. In an article about the investigation, Sports Illustrated magazine recently reported three Milwaukee rabbis signed the conversion papers of Irving, Philip Daly, and Chris Rankin. Apparently, these are forgeries. According to the rabbi, it was signed Rabbi Tzvi Panich, and he said, "I said, stop right there, my name is Chaim." There's a quotable quote. You see it, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, also known as Moshe Tarnowski. Well, what do you know?
Not you! From the luxurious penthouse studios atop Vilas Hall, amidst the cacophony of the Madison campus, welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio's comedy quiz, What Do You Know?, starring Michael Feldman. With John Tooling at the piano, Jim Packard at the microphone, the show that asks the question, is this working? Now, please welcome the man whose life is found in the pages of the Chicago Tribune between Klaus Van Bülow and Roxanne Pulitzer, Michael Feldman.
Kind of formal here with applause and everything, isn't it? It's kind of formal setup. Jim Packard, the only Packard still running, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. What do you think about that? Isn't that a funny idea?
I like
converting black basketball players to Jewish so they can play in Israeli teams. There's a future in that.
Sammy Davis Jr.'s sons apparently can't make it.
That's a great idea. I love this idea. Apparently that's true, too. I like that, too. Speaking of total frauds, I wasn't speaking of myself in this case, but someone built Indiana out of $600,000. Did you read that? Anyone from Indiana here? Back home again? Yeah, one person. Whereabouts?
Indiana.
Oh, yeah, that's in Indiana. You're right. This is a great story, because you're always looking for the perfect scam, and this possibly could be a. Two former state insurance officials built Indiana out of nearly $600,000 for a mysterious study that never was delivered. In a suit filed in Marion Superior Court, Attorney General Lindley Pearson said that two former members of the governor's insurance advisory committee, Richard D. Williams and Horace M. Lukens III, arranged for a $595,963 utilization study. And they went to every official they could find in Indiana, and no one knew what a utilization study, or could pronounce it for that matter, utilization study was, and they paid the money for it, though. So now they're suing them for fraud. I'm always looking for a scam like that, a utilization study. Anyone know what that would be in insurance terms? Utilization? Oh, this is like teaching school again. I have this. This is just the way I dreamed this last night in my humble motel surroundings. That's right. It's great being in motels, by the way. I love motels. You get cable here, so I don't have a watch, you know. So you got to keep that red, white, and blue thing with the ads on it on all. On all night, so you know what time it is if you wake up in the middle of a cold sweat, imagining something like this. Did you see the picture in the? This is in the Milwaukee Journal about the ashtray. Yeah, the aerospace ashtray from, is it Grumman Aerospace?
Grumman
Aerospace. That's right. And they were $660 for this ashtray. This is the only picture I've seen of it, though. And actually, what it looks like to me, it's a 55 Oldsmobile ashtray. Those are worth money now. It's exactly like the one we had. My dad said we had an 88 Olds. It's exactly like that. And they paid, that's worth $660. The socket, I don't know, about $404 for a socket, I think, is a little bit steep.
It's a real wrench.
Is it? Unless it's from Sears, in which case they replace them for the lifetime of a socket, so it's worthwhile. In other news and related stories, you wonder about genetic engineering, don't you? Don't you? Any genetic engineers here? Anyone here who's been genetically engineered? Do we have anybody recombined here in the audience? Anyone care to? Yeah? Well, the Roadstar Inn has a recombination room, as a matter of fact. They do genetic engineering. I should explain what the show is all about. I just want to say this is a... Genetic engineers, this is from Los Angeles, out of the New York Times, so it must be true. They can now produce giant mice, the result of all this. Yeah, giant mice and cross sheep and goats. See, all those jokes are coming true now. Remember any of those jokes?
Crossed ewes become crossed eyes.
Crossed ewes become crossed eyes. That's why he's here. This is. I'll tell you, you're no Catherine Cannelly.
Oh, that's a blessing.
It could be, though. I could show you how to do it. They're making giant mice now. That's the whole advance that they've made this in. Who's this? Dr. Thomas Wagner of the Edison Animal Biotechnology Center at Ohio University in Athens told of a mouse with growth hormone concentrated in its brain tissue that grew remarkably large. Isn't that amazing? And they're doing this apparently with cows now, too. Oh, no, excuse me. They use the cow growth hormone on the mouse. So now a mouse apparently the size of a cow.
Rimshot.
Thank you. We also have bells, and speaking of which, and cow jokes. This did not play in Chicago. I want you to know that. I used this a couple times. People did not understand this. This is the artificial cow. It's an artificial dairy product, so it's labeled as such, so there's no problem. That's Bessie. She'll be here periodically. In lieu of the guests we're supposed to have on the phone, as a matter of fact. I already blew one guess. Any word on him? Oh, yeah, I should look at my monitor here. Cannot locate him. Okay, we'll go on to something else then.
This is high tech.
Yeah, I mentioned our piano player, didn't I, Mr. John Tooling? Mr. John Tooling. And this is why you're here, John. All right, now do something on the drum. Do something on the drum. That's it? You're not so good on the drum compared to the piano.
I'm taking lessons.
Yeah, okay. I'll work on that then. That's John Tooling. He'll be back. That's all we could afford, by the way. The rest of the band is still out in the hall there until they won't come in. I should explain to you the premise that this show is predicated on. flimsy though it may be. This is, we're going to do some quiz things throughout this show. Now, the show is a mishmash, obviously. But there's a quiz section in it, and this is a chance for people all around the state to call in and win really neat prizes. Like, for example, I mentioned in the warm-up, actually, the Wisconsin Public Radio travel mugs. These are no-spill mugs. These are actually intravenous mugs. They're little bags that you hang on the window of your car, and it's just a slight, you don't even feel the pinprick. And so you can have coffee while on the highway, while commuting. They're very handy, and they're no-spill. We also have such things as Milwaukee Sentinel coffee mugs. These are lower-level prizes. We're building to the bigger things here. We have the note cubes, so you have wonderful little things like that. You know, the Wisconsin Public Radio note cubes. They are actually cubes, and you can write notes on them if you're so inclined. They gave me one for leaving last time, actually, and they took it back when I came back. And that's the one right there. I'd hold it up, but it's radio. Okay. We have meals at Perkins. You have to come to Madison to eat those, unfortunately. Or fortunately. I should say fortunately, I mean, is what I meant to say. Pardon me. Unfortunately for some of you, because you live other places. You don't live here in the Athens or the Midwest. Other things, Sara Lee Bake Shop coupons here. Then we got some higher level prizes that will really interest you, I'm sure. We have Capital Sailing Tours and Roadstar Inns, where they have a variety of rooms, as I mentioned. In the they have, I think, a medieval room with... Iron Maidens. I don't know if they have iron. Yeah, they have all kinds of motifs. Each room is a different motif. They have a Revolutionary War room, and they have a room with a catapult in it. And I don't know what they do in it. But I could use one once in a while, come to think of it. No, I really couldn't. Well, I really could. Oh, never mind. I don't want to. We could talk about this some other. Maybe over a drink we could talk about. Yeah, Roadstar Inn, so things like that. Those are the bigger prizes. Now, you're asking, what is this contest exactly? Are you?
What is this contest exactly?
It's very well put, sir. Let me just, this gentleman obviously knows how to ask a question. Ask that again.
What is this contest exactly?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. It's not a trivia contest. Are all of you sick of trivia like I am?
Yeah.
Yes, we hate trivia now, don't we? Remember, who likes trivia? Who said no? Okay. Excuse me, I just have to step on your knee to get to her. You like trivia?
After you come all this way, no, I was one of the haters. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you said you liked trivia. I was going to assault you with some large knowledge that I have. Okay, who here is a trivia buff? Who here is in the buff? Anyone here who demonstrated them? Anyone want to protest Mr. Reagan's political philosophy? Go right ahead. We are clothing optional here. No? Why does nudism protest his policies? I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not saying they shouldn't be nude in front of the president. Somebody should be. All right, anyway, that's getting off the track. What is this quiz, I think was the question, right? This quiz is all about, it's not trivia, it's the opposite of trivia. Large trivia, I don't know what that would, big, senseless things. We have various categories, and the questions are divided in, for example, there's a people category that's based on surveys and that sort of thing as to people's psychological states, their buying habits, and so forth. There's a category on presidents, which everybody loves. There's a category called the cutting edge of technology. So you get to choose these categories, and if you simply answer three questions right out of five, you're a big winner, you know. So this is how that works. Cutting edge of technology, the breaking developments in technology. There's one called, speaking of breaking, the late breaking news. This is current events. For those of you who read the newspaper, I'm sure you all read newspapers. They have in Madison, so to speak. In fact, I was in it today. But the guy said that I went to West Allis Central. That's the only thing that he...
That's the only plot.
Where did he get West Allis Central?
Milwaukee West.
Who went to West Allis? Anybody famous go to West Allis Central? I don't mean that I'm famous, but I'm... What? Nathan Allen Hale? Is that a person or a school? A school. Okay. You got to have a middle name to be famous. Did you notice that? Nathan Allen Hale. You need to. John Luke Pawnee. See, things you should have learned in school is another category. These are things if you had not been looking out the window during hygiene. Which is an interesting question. What is hygiene? Does anyone know what hygiene is? I mean, I took it, and I'm fairly clean and everything, but I don't know. They just... But how come in hygiene? I always imagine they'd hand you a little towel and a little tiny bar of soap and say, "Welcome to hygiene," you know. And anyone know what hygiene is supposed to be? Remember, did you take hygiene? This is before sex. Kids have sex now. don't they? I don't know. But they have sex education. We used to have hygiene. Do you remember that? Am I crazy?
No.
Am I hallucinating? I beg your pardon?
You learned about body odor.
Really? You mean its origins? Where does it come from?
Oh, gosh. I can't say, actually.
Yeah. Or why is there body odor? That'd be interesting. Well, that's more science, isn't it? Or is it philosophy? They overlap at that point. Anyway, that's another category, and things you should have learned in school. And there's a wild card category. This could be odds and ends, anything that from anywhere, because we couldn't classify them. Well, we've got people standing. If you want to come over in here and sit down, I think you can sit on the floor anywhere. I hate to see you standing like that. Yeah. Come on in. We've got a nice crowd here today. So that's how that works. And what we're going to do is we're trying to get someone from the audience to play along with people at home. Okay, so we need someone being pacified here right in front of me. It's a pacification program. She's sweet. Is this your little girl?
Yeah.
Or is this someone else's little girl?
No, this is my little girl.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. Hi, honey. Oh, you can't talk. I know you're sucking on something. But that's... She's sweet. I wish adults could do that. They have adult pacifiers, don't they? Anyone use one? It's a great way to quit smoking, I think, actually. All right, so we're looking at someone here who will come and volunteer to be the first guinea pig in this great American experiment. We call this the Second American Revolution here. Or maybe it's the third now, I guess. It's the third American Revolution. We're going on to the fourth and fifth next week. So who would like to volunteer to be part of a quiz? I think we need probably an adult person, because the questions are a little bit more... We'll get around to talking to other people in the audience too, and some of the kids, but who wants to be the first volunteer here to play this quiz? Did you say that?
Yes.
All right, well, come on up here. All right. Very brave man. What's your name, sir? I beg your pardon?
Bill Levin.
Bill, do you have a reasonable educational background?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Did you bring your resume?
I left it in the car.
I forgot to mention, bring your resumes to class with you, and bring your SAT scores. This will all help. If you'd like to come up and join us over there and... We'll get there over this musical interlude. I'll try and set this up. We'll see if this works. I have no idea. I just thought of this one day. Your name was just handed me. It says Bill Levin. That's what you just told me.
That's right.
That's why Jim is so helpful on this show.
He spelled it right, too.
Bill Levin. What do you do, Bill?
I'm unemployed right now.
All right. What are you looking for?
A career.
Yeah, all right. Okay. In what field?
Management.
Management. Isn't that kind of nebulous?
I want to be a leader, actually.
As opposed to a follower, you mean?
Exactly.
But what kind of management do you want to...
Well, I've had a lot of experience in government. I've had some experience in retail management.
You're not an ashtray, are you? Are you in military procurement, perhaps?
Well, some kind of procurement, not military necessarily.
They need people there. All right, I'll tell you what. Bill Levin, ladies and gentlemen at home, this is your co-conspirator here. Bill Levin is going to help you on any of these questions. Now, basically what we need to do here is we have a qualifying question. Those of you listening at home, our number here is, it's area code 608. The number is 263-1890. What happened in 1890? Anything? If something did, that'd be an easy way of remembering it. I don't think anything did. I never recall.
Got a war, I think, maybe.
Maybe there's a war. Teddy Roosevelt was around, wasn't he? What did he do in 1890?
Ran around crying bully a lot.
Yeah. Was that San Juan Hill? When was that? I don't know. See, my knowledge is a little sketchy. This is an attempt to deal with this on the show. All right, the number is 608-263-1890. We have a qualifying question here. Now, the first person to answer this question right, should we try presidents? Everybody loves presidents. Yeah, okay.
What was that number again?
263-1890. Area code is 608. If for some reason you can't afford the phone call, Lyle may accept the call. But it's deducted from his measly little salary. All right, here's the qualifying question. And, Bill, you don't have to answer this.
Good.
But the person at home does. And that person gets to play the quiz. See how that works? Did I explain this at all?
Yeah.
No. All right, now that... All right, see, once we get this down here, we'll be fine. The idea is, they answer the qualifying question. Then if they answer, they can choose their categories from people, current events, odds and ends, presidents, science, or things you should have learned in school. They get three of those right out of five. They are the grand prize winner, and they're in a Roadstar Inn and an Iron Maiden. Okay. Oh, actually, they have a yellow submarine room there, John. You know that room, don't you?
Yeah.
Remember that room?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of.
What a weekend that was, huh? That's how John and I met, actually. Okay. Here is the qualifying question, those of you at home listening now. What president's mother said of her son, and I quote, "He was the best potato masher one could wish for." That's the qualifying question. The number of calls, 263-1890. A little waiting music here. I said it was a flimsy premise, didn't I?
Oh,
no,
sorry.
Yeah. He was the best potato masher one could wish for. Okay, we'll just let the calls come in here. All right. We have a caller on the line here. Hello, Mark.
Hello.
Hi, Mark.
That's an easy question. Everyone knows it's Andrew Johnson.
Andrew Johnson. That's real close, but it's totally wrong. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Sure thing.
Nice try. It wasn't even close, as a matter of fact. You see, I learned that at teaching school. You can't totally discourage someone. Then but it sure was a stupid answer. All right. Hi, Phil. You're on the air.
Yeah. I'm going to guess Lillian Carter.
Lillian Carter. No. I would have thought so, too, as a matter of fact. It sounds like something she would say, or something her son could do, possibly.
Maybe. Obviously, she didn't. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, wasn't it, though? Thank you. Okay. All the way from Pittsburgh. Here's Pat from Pittsburgh. Here's Pat from Pittsburgh. Pat, you there? No, we lost Pat from Pittsburgh. The question is, what president's mother said of her son, "He was the best potato masher one could wish for"? The number, once again, is 263-1890. Error code is 608. Looking for an answer to this question. It's a presidential question. If you think you know that. Take a guess. How many presidents have we had? Hi, Pat. You're on the air. Hello, Pat? I have trouble with Pats. I've had trouble with Pats all my life. What president's mother said of her son? Do you know this one?
Actually, I don't.
Oh, okay. Bill doesn't know this one either. Anyone here know this answer? Don't shout it out if you do. Well, you saw the card. It's a great premise, isn't it? We should do this more often. Okay. What president's mother said of her son? "He was the best potato masher one could wish for." As if one wished for a potato masher. Sure. Apparently someone's bothered in. Larry, are you there?
Yeah.
Hi, you're on the air.
Was the answer Richard Nixon?
That is exactly right. Congratulations, Larry. It's a very exciting moment. It's an exciting moment in radio history. Larry, where are you calling from?
Madison.
From Madison?
You bet.
Where is that exactly? That's is that near Albion? I think it is. We're going to salute Albion a little bit later in the show. What do you do, Larry?
Student.
A student of what? Human nature, or
kind of, yeah.
Well, come on, Larry, don't give me this. What is everyone is? I mean, what are you studying?
Studying nutrition.
Nutrition. Okay. Do you know the Krebs cycle?
A little.
Don't tell me about it. I don't want to hear about it. That was the last show we did the Krebs cycle on. I don't remember it anyhow.
Is that a disease?
It isn't, is it? I think it's after wash and wear, isn't it?
Huh?
All right. I'll tell you what. Here's the thing, Larry. This is Bill.
Hi. All right.
Hi,
Larry.
Hi.
Okay, now you guys are co-conspirators here, and we're going to play this quiz.
Richard Nixon?
Yeah, this is very appropriate, isn't it?
Very.
You get to play this quiz, and you get to choose the category. If you get three questions right out of five, you win a big prize. Already you've won something.
Oh.
Let's face it, already you've probably won a coffee mug or something like that, I would say, at the very least. And Bill wins right along with you, by the way.
So, oh, great.
So you're in business here.
I can use it being unemployed.
Yeah.
Take a long coffee break.
And we got a job in management, by the way. The number here is 263-1890. I could use a job in management. I've been unemployed a lot, too, actually. I don't know what it is. The ups and downs of the business.
Well, you know.
Sometimes demand is a little slow. Anyway,
right.
You get to choose the categories, Bill. So do you know what our categories are?
I have no idea.
Or actually, I should say Larry should choose categories.
Oh,
we'll let him because
good.
He's more at loose ends here.
Okay.
Larry, you familiar with our categories?
Why don't you repeat them again?
All right. Oh, boy. We have a science category. That's like technology, so new developments. We have one, things you should have learned in school. Presidents, which everybody loves, that category. People category. They're kind of like survey results about people's habits and so forth. Current events, which is stuff right out of the news. And odds and ends, which could be anything. Oh, my gosh. Okay?
All right.
All right, so what category would you like to start with?
Let's take current events.
Current events. All right. Just take this one here. Here's the question, and you two guys can collaborate on this answer. No, you can't see the answer.
Oh.
No. You've got to, you and Larry, you can talk this over. You'll have a chance to talk it over. The piano will play a little bit. You get a chance to talk this over. Here's the question, however. What does a pistol, a chainsaw, two riding crops, four hearing aids, and a black sheepdog valued at $400 have in common? This is out of the news. You guys can talk this over now. A little background music. Hmm.
What do you think, Larry?
Anvil?
What? An anvil?
Can you repeat the question again?
Yeah, a pistol. This is a little slower than I thought it would be. What does a pistol, a chainsaw, two riding crops, four hearing aids, and a black sheepdog valued at $400 have in common? That's the question. Out of the news.
You know, I don't have a foggy... Oh, out of the news.
Current events, yes.
Black sheepdog with $400.
You guys got to talk now.
Yeah,
you?
I'm trying to communicate with you, Larry.
Huh? Too late now. Time's up. I'm sorry. That's one down there. Let's put that... what do we ring for that? No, that's the right answer, Bell.
Oh.
Okay. The answer is, these are some of the gifts that the Reagans accepted last year on a recently disclosed list. The Reagans accepted 15 gifts valued at $7,156. So those are some of the things they got. A pistol, a chainsaw, two riding crops, four hearing aids. Wonder where those went. He wears four hearing aids, ladies and gentlemen. Huh. And a black sheepdog. Okay, Larry, can you turn your radio down a little bit? We're getting feedback, I think.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So that's one down. You get four more chances, though. Here, why don't you use another category? Larry?
Go for the same one, Larry.
Larry's radio was next door. Yeah.
Oh.
Is this fun? Are you having fun? Is this done? I feel like this. I don't know what I'm doing here. No. No, I mean, don't give me that. You know, don't give me that. I don't need reassurance or anything.
Well, I do.
Yeah. Management. You know, Java Management 263-1890.
Thank you very much.
Any kind of management would do, right?
Any kind.
Office management?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Are you back, Larry?
Yep.
All right. All right. Choose another category. Or you can choose the same one if you want. I don't care.
Should we try science?
Science. Okay. You'll be very happy with science.
I may not.
All right. Here's the question in science. Write this down here. Right and wrong. I'm keeping scientific track of your answers here. Here's a question. In science, both of you guys collaborate now. You got to talk to one another.
Sure.
This is the idea here.
Absolutely.
Why did dinosaurs disappear? This is breaking technology. I don't know how this kind of... Why did dinosaurs disappear?
They probably ran out of food.
Isn't this a meteorite?
Maybe they were drowned. And...
Huh? Something changed the weather conditions.
Sorry, gentlemen. Time is up. I knew that was somewhere. I was hiding behind my coffee mug. Time is up. Do you have an answer that you've agreed on here?
What do you think, Larry?
Didn't you think it was something from outer space that influenced the environment? A meteorite or something?
Seems that's a possible answer.
Possible answer.
Listen, talk it over. I'm going to go get a cup of coffee.
Okay.
I need an answer.
Yeah.
You want to go with his answer?
Yeah.
Meteorite? No, they died of constipation due to a certain, they used to get their oil.
Is it fiber in their diet?
Yeah, you're right, it is a fiber problem. You get to my age, you'll have this problem too. I just recently had this problem. You got to eat a lot of bulk once you hit 35 or so. It's a bulk crisis at 35.
Okay.
Same thing happened to the dinosaurs. They all got to be 35. They couldn't get a certain kind of flowering gymnosperm. I'm making this up, you know, but it sounds great. Which secreted oil was no longer available, was no longer on the grocery shelves. So it was recalled. And, no, actually, nobody knows is the total answer. That's another theory, though, the constipation theory. So we're giving you a yes. We're giving you a right answer on that. So you're one and one. Guys,
right.
Congratulations, guys. You're doing real well. I'll tell you what. Let's let Bill choose a category here. Bill, you got a category you want to pick?
Yeah.
Science, school, presidents, people, odds and ends, current events?
Current events.
Current events is the category. All right, Larry, you still with us?
Sure.
You're pretty thrilled about this, aren't you, Larry?
Very, very good.
You're tickled about this, I can tell. All right, current events. True or false? This is right out of the news now, guys. We are about to witness the graying of McDonald's. True or false? Some fast food chains, unable to hire teenagers, are desperately recruiting older employees from churches and retirement homes. True or false?
I think it's true.
You think it's true?
I believe anything about McDonald's.
Larry, what about you?
I have to agree with him.
You think it's true? Okay, you're right. It is true. Facing what some call a critical shortage of teenage labor this summer because kids have decided they don't like the pay, the product, or the image.
Or the work.
Older people are being recruited. So far you're 2-1. You're in one more, and you guys both win a very nice prize. You get to go to the Roadstar Inn together someplace in the state of Wisconsin. Okay, let's see. We let him pick two. How about
you? Might be a new career for me.
You get into management that way. That's how you fix the ground floor.
I'm going to be a leader anyway.
Maybe. You know what Larry's like. Okay. Pick a category. Science, school, presidents, people, odds and ends, current events.
Let's try people.
People. A people person.
Right.
I like a people person.
I do too.
What is the leper population of the United States? Now, this is multiple choice, friends. See, this isn't trivia, right? This is educational. What is the leper population? Here are the choices now.
Okay.
300, 30,000, or 300,000. We are not, by the way, making fun of lepers. If you happen to be a leper listening to the show, there's nothing directed. This is just a question here on statistics. Because we have a lot of lepers listening to Wisconsin Public Radio, and I don't want to alienate anybody.
What is the leper population of the United States?
What is the leper population of the United States?
Is that the contiguous 48, or?
It's not my problem. I just read the cards. Larry, talk it over with Bill, will you?
I'd say...
Anyone got a smoke?
What do you think, Larry?
Yeah, they always pick B in these multiple-choice tests.
He's definitely a student, Larry.
Couldn't hear that.
Can you hear him?
No.
Have trouble hearing him?
Yeah.
Speak up. Just saying we should throw out the B in the multiple choice. Throw out the A in the multiple choice test. Go with the B or the C.
He's going for A or he's going just on the basis of position of the answers.
Here. I see.
This is who you're playing with, Bill.
Psychological type.
300 wouldn't be worth asking the question.
I like the way this guy thinks, don't you?
Yeah, I do too.
Larry, where do you go to school? University of Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Okay, figures. I went there too. Shut it down, I say.
All right.
It is shut down.
What do you say, Bill? 30,000 or 300,000?
330,000 or 300,000?
I say 300,000.
Closing time at Gimbel's, folks.
All right, I'd say we go there. That's a good one.
300,000?
Yeah.
You're right.
All right.
How'd you do that? Congratulations. Well, you win some very nice prizes right now. Congratulations, Larry. That was some brilliant deductive reasoning.
Terrific. Really?
You lucked out with this guy.
I know I did. He lucked out with me, too.
Totally amazing. Yeah, that's the answer is 300,000. You wouldn't think that. That's a large number, isn't it?
Yeah, compared to the whole population, it's pretty small.
That's true, too. It's a pretty small number compared to the whole population. Leper management. Maybe there's something.
I thought it's a possibility.
There's a future in it, right?
Right. Okay. I heard you well in it.
Well, gentlemen, I'm going to send you both to the...
Really?
Are you local?
Huh?
You're local, right? So you wouldn't want to stay in a Roadstar Inn in Madison, probably. It wouldn't be much of a weekend for you.
Well, it depends who I'm with.
I'll tell you what. We don't supply that end of it.
Oh.
We don't have to go together.
No, you don't. Each win these. These are duplicate prizes. We're going to...
For a minute, I thought this was a dating game.
We have some certificates here, each good for one weekend night in any Wisconsin and Rochester, Minnesota, by the way, if you're going to the Mayo Clinic up there.
With leprosy?
It all ties together, doesn't it? It's amazing how it all ties together. The Roadstar Inn up there, and this includes Appleton, Green Bay, Stevens Point, Eau Claire, La Crosse, Madison, Janesville, Rochester, Minnesota. And that includes your free continental breakfast, by the way. Isn't that nice?
I like that.
What do you get with the continental? You get a croissant, right?
A croissant, and orange juice.
Yeah. And a rose in a vase.
And a newspaper.
And a newspaper. Of your choice. So I'll tell you what. If you would stay on the line, Larry, we'll make sure that we get this to you.
Sure.
And
sure you will.
He is a student of human nature. No, honestly, we will. I'm not kidding you. Stay on the line, and we'll make sure that that Lyle gets the information from you, and Bill, we'll get your information right here. Maybe Jim can take that down for us.
Right.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you. Nice meeting you.
We'll be back with more of our special Funny You Don't Look 30 broadcast of June 1st, 1985, in just a moment when What Do You Know continues from PRI, Public Radio International. Welcome back to the special rebroadcast of What Do You Know. I'm Michael Feldman.
We have a toddler crawling on the floor here, please. Ladies and gentlemen, please confine your toddlers. Oh, let them roam, actually. Would she talk to me, you think? No, she wouldn't. She's recoiling already. She's coming. When they assume the fetal position, I back off. We have some questions from the audience. Why are we assigned middle names? Anyone know? The origin of middle names? Why am I Elliot in between Michael and Feldman is the question. I was wondering about that. Yeah? Just for nomenclature purposes. Yeah.
Make it more confusing for the FBI.
I beg your pardon? A political comment from Madison, Wisconsin.
To make it more confusing for the FBI.
Okay. Want to get naked and protest the president? I wonder who those people... Anyone know those people who got naked in Oshkosh, of all places? By gosh? Do you know them? Let's get the lowdown. This is the... behind the headlines here. You know, what kind of people were they?
They were really nice people.
They were from the Nottingham Co-op here in town.
Nottingham Co-op? So is that...
Memorial Union.
Is that a closed optional co-op?
Yeah, it's kind of a nudist thing, if you go there on certain days.
Is that part of the political philosophy, nudism?
Yeah, it's rather nude than nuked.
The newt? N-E-W-T?
N-U-K-E-D.
The newt?
Nuked.
Nuked. Nuked. Yeah, I got to pronounce that with the K in there. I said rather nude than newt. Which, I don't know why I'd get naked under those circumstances. Have you enjoyed any of their protests?
Not the nude ones, no.
That's very interesting. I'd do that, but I'm afraid it would be misconstrued, you know, as to, you know, what I was, the point I was trying to make. Anyway, I didn't mean it that way. That's innocent. If you want to assign values to everything, it's within your rights, you know. But I'm, what is the origin of embarrassment? I think I am the origin of embarrassment. Can you eat lunch meat any time of the day or what? I can't believe this. Jim Mapp in Madison. We don't have the Letterman window here. I'm sorry. We do have a door, though, but Jim's sitting in front of it. Jim, I'm going to knock your coffee over. But the hell with it. This is a... That's a, it's the only sound effect we got. And the chain. This is an actual Chicago door here. That won't hold them, though. I push the dresser in front of the door. I love living in Chicago. It's quite an experience. Someone told me that an alligator or something escaped in Chicago, and apparently it just blended right in. Honestly, no one said anything. It was at a bus stop or something, and people, it's a nice thing. They leave you alone, you know. Jim Mapp from Madison. Where is Jim Mapp from Madison? Jim Mapp from Madison asks, is a tomato a fruit or a vegetable? Jim, I bet you know the answer to this, right? And you're just being provoking here.
No, I really didn't. I was hoping that someone else here knew.
Is there a horticulturist in the room? It's a fruit, it's a berry, it's a vegetable. It's all those things.
Now, someone told me that the Supreme Court had declared that it was the opposite of what it was.
The Supreme Court is involved in the famous tomato case? Is this the U.S. versus the tomato?
But I still don't know which is which.
Which is what, the Supreme Court or a tomato?
Which one is biology?
We're sending you to law school, aren't we?
Which one is the biology say and which one does the law say?
Well, technically, it's, everyone knows that it's technically, it's, it depends if it's canned or if it's fresh. If it's canned, it's a vegetable because it's in the vegetable section. If it's fresh, it's a tomato. I don't know, it's Italian. They're Italian. Some are Italian. They have ethnicity. I know that much. They're probably fruits, aren't they? Or vegetables? That might be fruits. I think they have seeds, so they're... Anyone know for sure? Who cares? It's a stupid question. How many streets in Madison? No, that's too local. Ulrich. All as in ulcer, rich as in Rick. Oh, I'm sorry. Ulrich. From Augsburg, Germany? Someone here from... Oh, okay. It's a reunion! Wonderful. It's a reunion here. Do you know this woman?
No, I don't. How long?
Leah, right?
How
are you doing?
Oh, 50 years.
50 years. How long you been here?
30.
No kidding. That's amazing. And you're both from Augsburg, Germany?
Yep. Where? What street did you live on? Gossenbrotstrasse.
Ah, Gossenbrotstrasse. Those were the days, the cafes, the bohemians. We danced until we were blue in the face.
Fantastic.
Then I'll do my Pittsburgh joke. Now, you want to hear my Pittsburgh joke? Might as well. It's inappropriate. You know why Reagan really wanted to go to Pittsburgh? Because he heard Colonel Klink was buried there. Yes, I worked on that joke. All right. Oh, I'm sorry. I just dropped your question. I threw your question away. Wait a minute. I get that back. What was your question? You remember what it was.
There
it is. What do you get when you cross a hummingbird and a doorbell?
Answer's on the back.
A humdinger. So, is that typical of Augsburgian humor?
We got on, right?
Is all beer dark there? I think all beer being dark from
They had 26 breweries there.
In one city?
One city.
It's like Milwaukee used to be. Now they're all in La Crosse, right? All right. What do you do here?
I'm a designer.
What do you design?
Toys.
Yeah. Little things? Wood things? Or?
Well, wood, whatever.
High-tech stuff with chips in it?
Low-tech.
Like wood chips, probably. All right. You bring some of your toys. We'll play with them sometime.
All right.
Everyone's bored around here anyhow. We should do something with the audience. Well, it's time once again for that part of the show we call a salute to. And, Jim, who are we saluting today?
We're going to salute Albion. If you look at the map, for those of you who are here, John, you just took the pin out of Albion. So you can see we've done this before. But someone at random threw the dart into the state of Wisconsin, and we'll do that every week. We'll allow someone from the audience to come up and pick our town.
John Tooley, actually.
And we started with Albion. And our salute is, I suppose,
we're saluting the Albion, did you say?
No, not the Albion. Not the Albion Museum. We're saluting Albion, Wisconsin, the town that time has forgotten. We could go to Green Bay. Some folks are here from Green Bay, the first community in the state, 351 years now. But today's town actually dates to Roman days, to the country we now know as England. That's right. Albion is the old Roman name for England. Michael, did you know that?
I beg your pardon, I wasn't listening. This is part of the show where I don't listen.
Some of Albion's first settlers wanted Salem as their name, and there's also a second Albion in Wisconsin in Trempealeau County, but ours is in Dane County. If you were reading the paper this morning...
I like this part of the show, don't you?
You realize that Albion, Pennsylvania, another Albion, had a tragedy and a tornado went through there last night and virtually destroyed that town. But Albion, Wisconsin, east of Lake Koshkonong, just over the Dane County line...
Still there, right?
...is bisected by the Rock River and still standing.
They're bisected out there?
Albion also means white, as in the cliffs of Dover, or pristine, which could be true in Albion's case. The first settler's name was Freeborn Sweet.
Freeborn Sweet? They have that at the Roadstar. You can get that.
Who is followed a month later by Bjorn Anderson and Arnold Anderson, brothers, I assume, or fathers.
They got them all out there, don't they, in Albion?
The Baptists arrived to build a church there in 1843. There were 30 people. That's 142 years ago.
The Baptists came second? Who came first?
The first was Freeborn Sweet.
Well, what were they?
Freeborn? I have a feeling that Freeborn might have been a slave who was free, or he might have been...
Aren't slaves Baptist?
Yes, and the Baptists arrived later. They came
more Baptists, is what you're saying. First there were Baptists, and then there were more
Baptists.
And
then the Norwegians arrived.
Norwegians, oh, all right.
The Baptists chartered the Albion Academy and Normal Institute and ran that until the turn of the century. That'd be 1900. The Norwegians took it over then and ran it as a Lutheran school. Now, during the Civil War, meetings were held in a room under the church to identify and harass Southern sympathizers and to hold slaves escaping north through the Underground Railroad.
Just the essentials, Jim.
The academy closed its doors in 1914, and today only two structures survive, a church and a museum, which is open on Sunday afternoons in the summer if you'd like to go. Now, you'd like to know who the best and most noted resident of Albion was.
You talking to me?
He was the first Wisconsin-born faculty member at the University of Wisconsin. In 1869, his name was Rasmus Bjorn Anderson.
A Baptist.
Yes. No, a Norwegian.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So that's the town.
I thought it was a Baptist name.
That has survived, Albion as we now know it. They generally don't do much on Saturday. You can probably find out.
All right, I'll tell you what we'll do. I looked for Albion. Not on the map, Julian. You're the same way sober. I can't believe it. And I couldn't find it. I pulled off the highway there. It's near Whitewater or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
I ended up in some tobacco shed or something. I don't know where I was. And I couldn't find Albion. I don't think it exists.
Thing that's going on there today is the meeting of the Postmark Collectors Club, and I think we can find out about that.
All right. Well, this is pretty exciting, isn't it? This is live radio at its best. Is this working? Yeah. I knew that would happen. All right, one more attempt to reach Albion. It's hard to reach Albion because they have a special circuit out there.
They don't even have their own phone book anymore.
What do I have to dial first? 8 for Albion?
You would dial an 8,
but
yes.
They're in our area code, right?
Right, they're our area code.
Okay.
Can't dial 8. Try it again.
Okay. We're going to get this yet. Don't worry about a thing.
Okay, agent.
Yeah. I should let you do this part. You're good at this part. That was a fascinating history of Albion.
Thank you very much.
How did they happen to settle there in the first place? Did you mention that? I think I missed it.
Freeborn left no record of why he picked that spot.
Just came to him in a vision or something like that?
It could have, very well.
Did a salamander speak to him? Must be some reason for settling in Albion, I suppose. We're trying to call Betty Saunders in Albion. She's probably not home, huh?
Wouldn't it? It'd be just like her to be away on a day.
It's like Betty. Where would you go? If you're in Albion, you'd have to leave to do anything.
She might have gone down to the post office. They're probably lined up there.
Mm-hmm. We'll let it ring just a few more times. In Albion. We're calling Albion, Wisconsin.
That was Betty Saunders.
Let's do a tribute to the Albion instead of this. We can just go down there and look at some frescoes. Al Fresco, remember him?
Yes.
Yeah. One of the greatest of the Impressionist painters. Betty Saunders is anxiously awaiting our call in Albion. We told her we'd be calling, and it's one of the biggest events ever to happen in the small burg of Albion, which was originally settled by Baptist slaves in the last century, until eventually they produced a university professor, which is actually, you know.
And then he went on, after 14 years, he went on quite a while
talking about Albion, and Betty's not even
the United States minister to Denmark exactly 100 years ago
calling
today.
Betty Saunders. Betty, yeah. If you happen to be listening, if you could answer
your
phone.
He served 4 years under the term of Grover Cleveland. You remember Grover?
I'm just going to let it ring because I got nothing to do here.
Grover was a large person. At 260 pounds, he was known as the
Beast
of Buffalo.
What are you talking about now? What are you saying? Are we still on Albion?
We're still at Albion.
Okay.
Still trying to reach Betty.
Betty Saunders in Albion, Wisconsin. It's a you'll want to look for it sometime out there. You take one of the Whitewater exits there. What was that, 59 or something? Or 57? I took the wrong one, I think. It was a big tobacco curing shed there. Big leaves hanging up on poles and stuff. It was very nice. I thought I'd go to Albion, but we'll let it ring a couple more times. Betty Saunders in Albion, Wisconsin, our town of the week. And each week, of course, we will salute a town of the week. And, of course, it's not going to be Albion again, I'll tell you that.
Find out what Betty's up to in the Edgerton Reporter.
That's our salute to the town of the week. And that was a lot of fun, wasn't it? Betty, call us sometime, and we won't answer the phone either. I didn't like that. Yeah. All right. Well, we do have a caller on the line here. Let's just see if he's been hanging around for a while. See if we can get to him. Mark, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing, Mark?
Pretty good.
What do you want?
Yeah, I'm waiting for the next question.
The next one, we're not there. All right. Why don't Wisconsinites eat more tofu?
Because they already eat enough.
They already eat enough?
Yeah.
What do you think, ladies and gentlemen?
Five?
We'll give you a travel mug for that. That's worth a travel mug. Would you like a Milwaukee Sentinel travel mug or the intravenous Wisconsin Public Radio travel mug?
Oh, the intravenous one, please.
Okay, stand a line there, and we'll get you that intravenous mug just for saying something dumb about tofu and Wisconsin. Okay?
Thank you.
All right, don't hang up now. Lyle will get you. Lyle, you'll get him, won't you? Yeah, Lyle's back there getting him right now. Lyle Anderson, our phone answer, ladies and gentlemen. Well, we got plenty more coming up in the show, don't we, Jim?
We're going to just break
for
news.
But it's all along these lines, so if you want to leave now, I can understand.
Here on Wisconsin Public Radio.
We'll be back in another hour of Reagan-era fun coming right up. What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio, producer international me. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Thank you. Hi, I'm Michael Feldman. Welcome back to the very first What Do You Know from June 1st, 1985, kicking off our Funny You Don't Look 30 celebration of 30 years in the radio quiz biz. Here on show one, I learn how not to tap dance with Donna Peckett. Produced by yours truly and Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International.
On the piano. John Tooling on piano. Welcome back to the second hour. We're going to try it again. We're going to do the first hour over. It didn't work out. How about a tribute to Albion? You know, Albion was founded by slaves. Then the Baptist slaves moved out. The Baptists moved in. And the Norwegians came when the Baptists left. And then there's a transgression. No, a trans, what's the word? Formation. Translation. Transmigration. Thank you very much. Donna Peckett has joined me. Hi, Donna.
Hi.
And I'm going to teach you how to tap dance. That's the next part of the show here. Donna is a tap dancer. You're the kind of person that no one wants to have living over them, right?
That's true.
Have you had that problem?
Oh, yes. Many times.
Really? I met someone who lived under you at one point and said she practices all the time.
Actually, when I first started tap dancing, I was teaching at the Wilmar Center. And Roger Eichens, who teaches yoga.
Dropper.
I've dropped names. Local names. Who teaches
I'd drop
yoga.
That one if
was
I
teaching his yoga class there. He didn't like that too much.
You
yoga
were tap dancing?
And tap
yeah,
dancing.
You can't do your mantra with all this click-a-click going on. Right. I like these. I can't
do
anything.
You have a nice pair of shoes.
Thank
there.
You. Thank you very much. Notice what I'm doing?
Yeah.
What is that?
Oh, that's a little...
A plié?
Yeah.
A rat-a-tat-tat.
A rat-a-tat-tat.
What is the secret? I want to explain the idea here now. I got to explain all the premises that I'm operating under. Oh, they're all faulty. One part of the show is subjective knowledge, you know, the knowledge in school, that kind of stuff. This is hands-on knowledge. Each week we're going to learn something hands-on here. And as a matter of fact, I've got another pair of shoes here. Jim, those are big clodhoppers. Those
fit
you.
Hey, they look nice on you.
Jim, put those on, Jim. Those are about 11s or something. I was going to wear them and stuff my reviews in the toes.
Under the bed.
But,
the thing to do with reviews?
Yeah. Okay, what's the basic secret of tap dance?
Well, you need a good screwdriver.
I won't say anything.
I bet you didn't expect to hear that.
What do you use a screwdriver
well,
for?
Well, you need a good screwdriver so you can screw in your taps if they get loose.
Yeah, I bet they would, right? The pounding they take.
Yeah, they do get loose and then they fall out. So I always carry a little screwdriver.
Okay,
here.
Very nice, very nice. Little screwdriver, first of all. I have a little screwdriver
and
at
you
home
need
if you're listening.
I have a supply of screws. I have quite a supply of screws here.
May I see them?
You have to know what kinds of screws to buy.
Little screws.
They need to be flat-headed screws.
Flat-headed screws. If you're doing this at home, please use the flat-headed screws. The round-headed, you wouldn't
round-headed,
want. They would really tear up the floor.
Yeah,
right?
They would tear up the floor.
Do you ever get a damage deposit back after you leave a place?
And
it
then
must be hard.
You need a little rosin.
A little
rosin.
Where do you put that?
I once knew somebody who sang a song about this. Got my teletone taps, my screwdriver, and rosin.
It's a sexy business, tap dancing.
Well, here's rosin. Do you know what rosin is?
Are you asking me? Are you asking me? Ask them. I don't know
do you,
what it is.
Does anybody here...
Let's be put on a boat.
I have a question. Does anybody here know what rosin is?
It's a resin.
Rosin is a resin?
Rosin is a resin. That is true. It's from a tree. You put it on the floor.
Do you want to spread some out here?
Pardon? Well, we could.
Should we put salt on the floor? What do they dance? They dance in sand, don't they?
Well, some people dance in sand.
Yeah.
There's a little rosin here. You want to put some on the floor?
I don't care. It's not my place. Spread it around there.
You make sure not slip.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jim's got his on, too.
Yeah, no, it's very nice.
Got a rosin up here a little bit. So,
so rosin, yeah. You need rosin. And I carry a hammer. I don't know why.
Sell it to the Navy.
That's
worth $600. That's a small one, too. That's only
$600. Yeah, that's a small hammer.
Yeah, that's a cute little hammer.
Though. Yeah, it is cute, isn't it?
What is this for?
I don't know.
A
I happen
dance?
To have it around.
Okay. Enough of the preliminaries here. Let's get down to tap dance.
All right.
I'm getting anxious.
So you want to learn how to tap dance?
Yeah,
huh?
In one
right.
easy
well,
lesson.
Let's try a little rhythm. Let's have John play us a little something on the piano. Hey, you have to keep the beat in mind.
Yeah. I think I got it.
Just swing your toe in and out, you know.
Yeah, like that.
Right. There, you got it.
Now what?
Try the other one.
The other one doesn't work. You got to use both?
You try one and then...
You do them both at the same
time? You're doing all right.
Oh, you do one or the other? Wait a minute. What are you doing there?
How about that?
How about that? How about that? Okay. Now can you do this?
Let me try this. Just, yeah.
Want
to sign up? I need some business.
You just kind of hop on a little bit, right?
Yeah, a little jump.
You're doing something there.
You put your little heel into it.
A little heel?
Yes, I will. But it depends on the syncopation of the beat, you know. And they look terrific, don't they?
We might leave it to talk about. We got it ready.
You gotta catch the syncopation of the beat.
Well, can we change the beat then? Donna Peckett, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
That was very informative.
Thank you.
Very informative.
I could get a little more detail.
Is tap? We don't actually. This
whoops.
Is a, you know, I can't teach it over the radio too well, but is it useful?
I tap dance on the radio right here in this studio.
Yeah. You got a history. You got a long history. I'm out of breath here. Is this good for other forms of dance? Do people start at tap and go on to do other things? Or is
actually,
it just
I don't think they start at tap.
As
they
an
start
end
somewhere
its
else.
Really?
Yeah.
Where do they start?
I think you need to start with more basic dance and then get into the rhythms when you have a... It requires a lot of coordination. I don't think little kids can really handle it till they're about 7.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the youngest you'd advise.
Oh, yes.
7-year-old tappers. You have little 7-year-old tappers?
I do.
Do you do, like, things, shows with kids and stuff?
Rarely.
Yeah. I do, but they never talk to me, so I assume. All right, Donna, I want to thank you for coming down.
Well,
here.
I want to thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Next week, High Hill. Stay tuned. Donna Peckett. And John Tulane on piano. John Tulane, do you make noises like Mose Allison? I was mentioning this before. You know, when he plays, he makes all those little grunts and stuff.
No, but sometimes I drool.
Do you? I notice you're not doing that today. This is a nice studio we're in, right?
You know? Yeah, it's usually bar rooms that happens.
Yeah. Why do jazz musicians tend to do that, though, don't they?
What, drool?
Yeah. No, I mean make those grunts and things when they play.
I think it's kind of unconscious.
Is it? I thought it was maybe put on, you know, laid on.
No, I think piano players especially seem to.
Yeah. Who do you admire? As a piano player.
As a piano player? Yeah. Oh,
or as a person. You know, as, let's say, 145 pounds.
Spiritually, are we speaking here, or politically?
With glasses. What kind of person like that would you admire? Not necessarily a musical person. A person with potential, though. It could be musical if he would have had the proper lessons and not had to go to Hebrew school.
Yeah.
You know? A person like that, who would you admire along those lines?
Think
about it, John. I'll be back to you. John's great to work with. I love him. We have some other things from the audience here. Margie Van Handel. Is that right? Handel? Miami Beach, Florida. If a king sits on gold, who sits on silver? Who knows? This is pretty... What is this, jokes here? I'm here for jokes? The Lone Ranger. All right. Margie, don't ever write me again. Where is the free and only free ferry in Wisconsin? No, it's Art Naud in Chicago. His name? Yeah. All right. Pat Mapp. That's true. I've been on that ferry. It's a nice ferry.
Well, that's... I cross it every weekend.
Well, how exciting for you. You go both ways?
Yeah.
Congratulations. We'll talk sometime, really. I'm serious. If I could reach you now, I'd come over there. But I'm wearing my tap shoes, and I can't get too far. I don't want to take them off. They feel great.
Yeah.
They're nice. You get respect on the street with something like this. And if you don't, you can really... Pat Mapp and Madison asked, how many golf balls are on the moon? Is there an answer to this? There's no answer to this. That's what you wanted to know, right? Where's Pat Mapp? Who looks the most embarrassed in the room here? You're not embarrassed? You should be, Pat, asking questions.
It's an elephant.
It's an elephant?
That's right! It's irrelevant.
Where are you from originally, Pat? Do they know you're missing? Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. Okay.
It's been great.
Are there golf balls on the moon?
I have no idea.
The moon looks like a golf ball. There are four golf balls on the moon? How is that possible? Is that true?
I didn't put them there.
Are there, actually?
Yeah.
Don't lie to me now. I'm very sensitive. I'll get hurt.
You who hate Trivial Pursuit, it's a Trivial Pursuit question.
There are four golf balls. Who bought Neil Armstrong, right? One of those guys. Those guys all play golf. They're the type, you know, the guys with penguins on their pockets, you know, whatever they're wearing now. Mercy Pearsall of Appleton, Wisconsin, asks, where do hiccups really come from? Especially the little ones. Isn't that a cute question? Makes you wonder. Where's Mercy?
Here.
Have Mercy. Oh, Mercy, you're with the guy from the Augsburger beer. Okay. You know where they come from?
No, I genuinely want to know, though.
Oh. Why do you genuinely want to know?
It's been a burning question. You asked us to ask.
Yeah, burning hiccups, the kind of... Do you have this? Is this kind of a social problem that
I
you
have? I know someone who's had them for 12 years, and I think the question should be answered for that person.
Continuously?
Continuous hiccups.
Oh. Why don't you bring that person? Really, we need something on this show.
It's worse than stuttering. It's unpredictable.
They've been hiccuping for 12 years?
Like that.
Have you tried everything on them? Scaring them?
Anything short of upside down in the Pacific.
Is that supposed to work?
If you swallow enough water, but then it's a moot question.
I'll tell you, I don't know where they come from. Anyone know the physiology of hiccups? Gentleman back there. So I can't reach you, sir. Why don't you come up here?
Come.
Air in your stomach. There's a song. Isn't that a song? And here, what's your name?
Don Merlin.
Don Merlin on the physiology of hiccuping.
Sure, it's just involuntary spasms of the diaphragm.
I get those.
The stomach and the lungs, and when it... spasms, you suck in air accidentally. Whoops.
Yeah, you do. That's worth a mug, isn't it? Give him a mug. When will Reagan ride the space shuttle? Really, I'm wondering myself. Yeah. Jake Gorn, he's the guy. They should have left up. They should have, you know. Anyway, Denise Rose visiting from Oak Park, Illinois. All the way from Oak Park, Illinois. Where's Denise?
Right in front of me.
Right in front of me. Oh, you're Denise. Hi, thanks. How much money did General Electric pay in taxes in 1981-83?
Zero.
Who says zero?
Zero.
The answer is?
Give him a mug. He's right.
Give him a mug. He's right. That's the answer. Okay. How much did I pay in taxes? I paid... a lot. I supported General Electric. I paid some. I had one good year, you know. Then I averaged, so it came out. I'm a guy who's averaged all his life, all his taxes. I had one good year, and I have two disastrous ones. So just average is my suggestion. Yeah. What about the new tax plan, though? Isn't that a great thing? Giving to the rich? What a wonderful notion. That's a novel idea. You wouldn't think, you know. You'd think you're trying. It's a good idea, though. What they should do is station the MX in the trunks of BMWs, I think. Jerry Morgan comes all the way from Ireland. Are you all the way from Ireland, Jerry Morgan?
Yeah.
Jerry. Hi, Jerry. I'm just going to tap my way into your heart, Jerry. Stand here. How you doing?
Pretty good.
What county are you from?
I'm from County Louth. It's north of Dublin.
North of Dublin. What do folks do up there north of Dublin?
Well,
knit worsteds. I imagine them knitting worsteds.
Well, the time
from bad to worsted.
Where I come from was once called the El Paso of Ireland, but
the El Paso. I mean, they got cowboys and stuff.
It was just a little bit south of the border, so sometimes.
Oh, I see. Why don't they call it the Tijuana of?
We don't drink tequila.
But okay, so what do you do for a vocation or a vacation?
I'm in the physics department. I'm an aspiring physicist.
Okay, now I want to talk to you about this CERN thing now, and this linear acceleration of particles or something. Are you in favor of it?
Sure.
The mu particle. Huh? Tell me about the mu particle.
Oh, there are quite a few mu particles.
I know that.
Well,
one of your favorite mu particles.
Well, they're pretty important, you know, because they provide a lot of employment for some people.
Yeah, yourself included? You study that stuff?
No, I'm in lizard physics.
Lizard physics. That's a very important branch of physics. They got one loose in Chicago right now. Laser physics.
Uh-huh.
So you're in the Star Wars thing.
Not really, no. We're a bit more down to earth than that, but...
Watch it. All these political types will pounce on you if you're working in Star Wars here. We don't need Star Wars. I think acid rain would stop missiles, right? If they want to make acid rain worse. They're metal, aren't they? Okay. Anyway, Jerry Morgan asks, did someone... you ask it.
Okay, did someone from Purdue design Wisconsin license plates?
Interesting question. Why do you ask?
Well, they're yellow and black, and the state-owned vehicles are red.
Uh-huh. And... all Purdue colors?
Well, the Purdue colors, I guess, are yellow and black.
And what about the state vehicles being red? How does that tie into all this?
Well, I think they're a nicer color. They're talking about changing the colors anyway.
See, I want to talk about mu particles with this guy, and he wants to talk about license plates. We'll play, it says here. Oh, you want to play the quiz with us?
Sure.
Why don't you come on up and you'll play this round of the quiz with us. We'll find out about this. Morgan from Ireland. This is such fun. Doing much particle research in Ireland these days?
Ballistic type particles.
Yeah, right. Unfortunately. Okay, Jerry, you know how this quiz works?
Yes, I think I do.
Could you explain it to me? Because I wrote it down here and I forgot. This came to me in a half sleep one day. And people here, I notice, are in half sleep trying to figure this out. Our number here is 263-1890. Area code is 608. And if you would like to play this quiz, you get to choose a category. You answer three right, and you win a prize. It's simple as that. It's a chance, really, for make a living for me is what this all boils down to. It has no value other than that. The categories are science, cutting edge of technology. And if you're listening out there right now, you know that Jerry has probably got the answers in that category if you've been listening closely, right? I wouldn't ask him about Purdue or anything related to that. Or
mu particles.
Or mu particles. He can't talk about that. It's all classified, ladies and gentlemen. He's one of these guys who works in salt cellars, right? Waiting for something to happen in a salt cellar. It's like being in the Rathskeller, actually. waiting for something to happen. The other category is school things you should have learned in school. Presidents. Everyone loves presidents, that category. People, current events, and odds and ends. It could be anything. Who knows? It's such fun. And... I'll tell you what, we got to ask here a qualifying question. Let's pick it, not from presidents this time, because everyone loves that, but from things you should have learned in school. Okay, this is the first caller to answer this question gets to play the quiz. And the question is, what was the combination of your gym locker? Everyone remembers the combination of the gym lockers, right? I remember mine is 38, 37, 17. There was one that was 16, 42, 1. Did you have combination lockers in El Paso?
Not really, no.
No? Okay. A little music here while waiting for the phone ring. Okay, that'll do. Hi, Pete. Pete, you remember the combination of your gym locker?
Yes, I do.
Okay. What is it, please?
3-31-14.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thanks for calling. Okay, we're talking now to Peter from Madison. Another caller in line, Peter. Oh, Peter, are you there?
Yes, with 6-12-22.
That's right. That's exactly right. Okay, very good, Peter. The other guy was, you know, some guys call up and they just put you on. You can tell right by the voice. You know, that's why I'm in radio. Peter, you're calling from Madison?
Yes.
What do you do for a way of life?
I'm a particle physicist.
Are you lying?
No.
If you're lying, boy, I get real upset with that.
You tell him about muons.
Particle? You know this? You know Jerry?
I don't know. I worked at CERN for a couple years.
No, I've not been to CERN.
You know a guy from El Paso? Kind of a Texas accent?
Well, yeah, chilly there, but I don't know.
All right, so we got two particle physicists. Where else could this happen? What a wonderful idea for a radio show, getting particle physicists to talk to one another. It's a quark, yeah. Very good, Jim. I like that. All right. So you want to play this quiz, huh?
Sure.
All right. Pick a category.
Science.
Oh, you're kidding.
All right. Science, he wants. All right. In that case, I'm going to look through these. I'm going to get something out of his field. All right. All right. Okay. Science. When the Space Shuttle Challenger returned with a cracked windshield in 1983, it illustrated one of the new hazards of orbital spaceflight. What is this hazard? Now, you guys can collaborate.
A piece of space junk probably hit it.
Jerry, you want to get in on this conversation? Talk this over, you know.
It wasn't a wild bird flying too high.
Probably something in space hit the windshield.
Oh, that sounds pretty good. Let's go with that.
Do you want to go with that answer?
Yeah, sure.
You're right. It is.
Hey.
It's another victory for the obvious, ladies and gentlemen. Space junk. And right now there's 40,000 pieces that are golf ball sized in space. And 5,400 of them that are larger than a baseball, moving at 17,500 miles an hour, or much like the Dan Ryan Expressway. Okay, so that's one right for you guys. You guys are doing great here. You don't know each other, huh?
No, I don't think so. It's a pretty big place, the large department.
Yeah, I suppose it is. And you never collide, huh?
No, but no.
I suppose not. All right, Jerry, we'll let you pick this category. We got current events, people, odds and ends, presidents, which everyone loves, school, and science.
Well, let's try a current events one.
All right, current events. This is right out of the latest newspaper here. They're at their highest levels in history all around them. Beaches are shrinking, piers are disappearing, and roads are flooding. What are they?
Well, any idea, Peter?
Can you repeat that again?
I'm afraid I can't. I'd like to. They're at their highest levels in history. All around them, beaches are shrinking, piers are disappearing, and roads are flooding. What are they?
Rivers or tides?
Yeah, you got to talk this over with him now. You know, this
that
is
sounds
an
like
important.
The obvious. Rivers or tides? Will you take both?
You have to have one answer here between the two of you.
Rivers.
Right.
Now, if you're not going to collaborate, I'm not going to play this game.
How about rivers?
Yeah, I think rivers is a good idea.
All right, that's
yeah,
more like it. Time's up. You're wrong. It's the Great Lakes. I'm sorry, guys. Missing that one. You're 1-1 here.
Let's go back to science.
All right. Who picked the last one? I'll tell you, Peter, pick a category here.
How about odds and ends?
Odds and ends. This could be anything, you know.
Fine.
All right. And it is. According to umbrella industry estimates, what is the lifespan of the average umbrella in years? This is multiple choice, guys. All right, the lifespan of the average umbrella in years, is it A, 2.5 years, B, 7 years, or C, 14 years? Lifespan of the average umbrella.
I think it's pretty short, don't you?
Yeah.
Think so?
Certainly in a windy city, it's got to be short. Is this in the States in general, or can we pick a
We're talking about continental U.S. here, I would say.
Because in the Sahara Desert, it would be rather long, I think.
Yeah.
These guys think like scientists, you know what I'm saying?
Let's go with B this time.
Sure. 7, I think that is.
7 years? You agree with that? You're wrong. It's 2.5 years. Wow. The average umbrella. I've never had an umbrella that lasted 2.5 years. Have you? Anyone had an umbrella that lasted 2.5 years? You lose them before they fly out and stuff. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm sorry. That's another one wrong there. That gives you, you got to win. You got to get the next two right.
Okay.
To win here. Okay. So, believe it's your turn.
Let's be sensible and take science.
All right, let's be sensible. What is the best method for removing mildew from a leatherette sofa in your basement? You're a particle physicist, you should know this.
You can,
made.
You can burn it with a laser beam.
Made.
Wow. Hire unemployed radio people.
I'll accept that. I like that. All right. We'll take that answer. That's not the official answer, but it's pretty cute. We like that. Wash with a solution of bleach. This is the informative part of the show here, ladies and gentlemen. Wash with a solution of bleach, dishwashing detergent, and warm water. Let stand 10 minutes and rinse with clear water from Consumer Reports, in case you want to know that. Okay, you're 2-2 now because we gave you that one.
Right.
So you get one more chance to win here.
Let's go for science.
Who picked the last one? Wait a minute.
Sure, let's take science.
Science? Are you going to science anyway? All right. I don't believe you. Anyone got presidents? Everyone loves presidents. Do you know American presidents?
About 3 or 4, I think that's all.
Really?
Yeah.
Which are your favorite ones so far?
Most Irish people would pick Kennedy, but I don't know. Nixon wasn't a bad guy.
Hey. For the sake of international
relations...
Can I
get out the door now?
You're behaving like British soccer fans. I'll have none of that. It's a new slogan now in the language. All right, particles. We're talking particles here. Aren't
okay,
you guys
Peter, that's yours.
Particles. Oh, you're not in particle.
No.
Oh, not even part time. All right, particles ejected in a forceful sneeze are traveling at about how many miles per hour? See, I said this wasn't trivia, right? Here are the three possibilities. Particles ejected in a forceful sneeze are traveling at what rate per hour? 103.6 miles per hour, 13.6 miles per hour, or 53.6 miles per hour.
Let's go with the fast one. I think it's about 100. What do you think, Peter?
Yeah, let's see if we convert that to kilometers per second.
That's April 5th. That's about 160 kilometers per hour. What's that per second?
That sounds fine. That sounds like a good answer.
The fastest one.
I'm sorry. I drifted off. I got lost in the ethereal fingerings of our fine piano playing. What was the question? Particles ejected, and you said what? What was the answer?
I think the fastest one, 100.
You're right. It's 103.6 miles. Hey! Congratulations. And we're going to send you to the accelerator room at the Roadstar Inn, where you can accelerate your particles all night long if you want to.
Generate good colors.
Do I moan when you talk? I lost the prize list. Anyone see the prize list? Did I give away the prize list? I might have. Anyhow, we'll get those to both of you. It's a chance anywhere in Wisconsin, one of, I think, 8 cities that Roadstar Inn is in. Spend a weekend getaway at a Roadstar Inn.
Well, we can go separately, though, right?
No, I'm sorry. That's the catch. Two physicists in a hotel room. There's an existential drama for you.
You can leave your address in my mailbox Monday, Peter.
Yeah, you guys probably want to get together for a drink beforehand, right? All right, I'll tell you what, Peter from Madison, if you would stay on the line, we'll get the information
sure.
from you. You get to go separately. Congratulations.
Great, thank
Thanks
you.
A lot for playing. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. Jerry Morgan from Ireland, thank you for playing
you.
This round.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
You've got a great voice, too. I love that Irish El Paso accent there.
It's not really as bad as it sounds. It was some, I think, British or European commentator made that.
Oh, yeah, well, you know how they are. They're just jealous. My mother always says about everyone who says something like that. They're just jealous of us. Yeah, they're jealous of our mortgage. They're jealous of our varicose veins. They're jealous of everything we got. Okay, thanks very much. We got another number here from John Tooling, who's just itching to tickle those ivories. I beg your pardon?
My number's not for 10 minutes.
In 10 minutes, we have another number from... Well, what are we supposed to do now, John? Wait a minute, I didn't read this. I thought we were... John Tooling.
We'll continue that wonderful year 1985 when the Funny You Don't Look 30 juggernaut rolls on. This is What Do You Know from PRI, Public Radio International. Welcome back to What Do You Know's retrospective Funny You Don't Look 30. I'm Michael Feldman.
Hi, Herbert. How you doing? Are you there?
Is there a choice of categories?
Is there a choice of categories? Yeah. Actually, there is a choice of categories.
Oh,
do you like presidents?
First or
you like presidents, don't you? No one so far has liked. I thought everyone liked the category of presidents. You want to answer a question? No, answer when I'm president.
Okay. You ran out of the other one. All
right. We'll give you current events. You want current events?
Yeah.
All right, see if you can answer this
question.
Well,
I picked Joan Rivers on another one with the high level and a pier sagging, but that was wrong.
That's very good. Okay. current events, all right? Well, this is for a Wisconsin public radio. I forgot where I was working. You know, that's easy to do in my profession. A Wisconsin Public Radio travel mug. This is the intravenous model, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you answer this question right, we'll give you one of these absolutely free of charge.
Yeah.
When they met at a recent reception, Ted Turner, would-be owner of CBS, said to this journalist, "You and I would get on like a house afire." then proceeded to offer him $1 million a year if he'd go back on the air after a Turner takeover. Who was the journalist?
Dan Rather.
No.
Oh.
He's on the air. How could he go back on the air?
Yes.
It's Walter Cronkite. I'm sorry, you owe us money.
Oh, dear. Will you take checks?
Yeah, we'll take a check. Just make it Wisconsin Public Radio.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Okay. Thanks very much for playing.
Thank you.
Sorry, not everyone can win. You know, that's life. Oh, we got some other cards from the audience here. Jim Mixner, is it? Mixner? Yes, that's right. Congratulations. That's very good. M-E-I, Mixner. Okay. From Madison asks, what is cows on the concourse? It is literally that. It is cows on the concourse. Now, why is cows on the concourse? Gets into deep philosophical. I don't know why is cows on the concourse. Anecdote here. Should I tell about the cow picture?
Oh, yes.
We were trying to take a picture for the Milwaukee Journal. They're going to run a story in their magazine, which is called, Wisconsin or something. Yeah. Strangely enough. Because they're not in Wisconsin. Milwaukee is. I don't think it's part of Wisconsin. No one seems to think so. That's where the glacier stopped because they didn't even want to see Milwaukee. Anyway, I thought, well, why not a picture of me interviewing a cow? That's kind of cute. I like that kind of stuff. So we went looking in the cow barns down here on campus for a cow, and we found them, but I couldn't corral one. They kept running away from me. So sure enough, there was a cow in a stanchion. Is that what you'd call a stanchion? A cow with a thing around its neck? Confined? So went over to that cow, and so he'd take pictures of that cow. It turns out the cow was in a stanchion because it was getting an embryo transplant. So try and picture the scene if you can. I didn't know they made gloves that long, to tell you the truth. Yes, you win. Congratulations. You want to ring the bell? Would you like to ring the bell? No. I'm so good with kids. It's a magic I have. So think of that. If you happen to see that picture in the Milwaukee Journal, know that I was working the front end and science was working the rest. Science is wonderful. Science goes everywhere now, doesn't it? Anyhow, that accounts for the expression I'm a cow. Does daylight savings time save time? And how much? Good question. That's kind of provocative, don't you think? Maybe not. Marine Mikosi? Is that right? From what? Where in Montreal? Oh, Timbuktu, Montreal. I didn't know Timbuktu was in Montreal. Yeah. Which one? Now you've got three choices here: Timbuktu, Montreal, and Dalton, Illinois. I figured it might be the last one. Yeah. Why don't mice make honey? Let's put this in the science questions, and maybe this will come up. I'm just going to slip that in there. This will really next time we get a particle physicist on there. All right, Marine, I don't know. Do you have any?
I'm asking.
We could cross, probably right now, we'd be able to cross a mouse with a bee. But how would he get back in the hive?
Very carefully.
Very carefully. Ooh, is Harvey in here? I sound like Harvey Black. Very carefully. See, I don't talk like that. Harvey Black does. Mark Peters of Duarte, California. They named a town after him. Oh, the Gipper. The Gipper of El Salvador. Let's win one for the Gipper, shall we? Says, sure, I'll play. I don't think so, Mark. Martin Stein, point of origin, Montreal, says, I will play too. Why do people crowd into kitchens at parties? Interesting question. That's where the food is, probably. That's where the water is. That's where the people are. It's like a water hole, isn't it? I don't know why. That's an interesting psychological question, though, why people crowd in. That's true, though. I went to a party with radio people one time. I usually would not do that because they're not balls of fire, you know, Jim. These people, most of them aren't good on the air. They're going to be good in person, you know. But I was at a party with them, and absolutely everyone was frozen in the room. Like, we sat around. We were in the kitchen, matter of fact, and no one was talking. And someone got the idea. It was a news person, I think. They came up with it, of turning out the lights. They turned out the lights, and everybody started talking. I swear to God, radio people, they can't talk and be seen at the same time. Eric Bingen of Racine, Wisconsin says, I want to play the quiz. All right, Eric, where are you?
Right here.
Eric, come on up here then. You get to play the quiz. You're so vehement about this. How you doing? Nice to meet you, Eric. What are you doing there in Racine, Wisconsin?
Well, actually, I live in Madison.
Now you do, huh?
Yeah.
You got people back in Racine?
Yeah.
Say hello to your people back in Racine.
Hello, back in Racine.
Very nice.
I like your Kenosha shirt, by the way.
Thank you very much. This is Adopt a Kenosha. That's my new plan here. We're going to try to support. Kenosha is going through hard times there. So you let the French in, and they think, you know, like, the French are good at souffles. They're going to build cars in Kenosha? Let's face it, it was never right. Whatever happened to the Rambler American? That was a nice, decent car. It was a sensible car. They're still running today. Nice six-banger, straight six, right? What is it, a 235 or something, straight six? Great cars. They'll run infinitely, right? So naturally, they stop making them. Now they make these little accords or whatever they are. You bump your heads on the top, and the doors sound like tin and stuff. And they should go back to resurrect the Rambler American, I say. Or the Ambassador. That was a classy car. Enough of this philosophizing. You asked the question here, what is Bruce Springsteen's size? His size? What size are you referring to?
Shoes.
His shoes. I bet they're big. I bet they're, what would you say, Bruce Springsteen runs about 12, 14?
Probably.
Yeah, I would think at least. Okay. Erica, what are you doing, Tony? Are you a student? Are you?
I work at the Division of Corrections.
Division of Corrections?
That's
what
right.
Do? Are you the rubber hose guy there?
That's right. We have Iron Maidens.
You want to win that, don't you? Out there?
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
Just like going home. All right. Eric Bingen gets to be the player. We don't have a corrections category here, but we're going to ask a qualifying question here.
Okay.
How about presidents? School? Let's do another one from school. Okay. Here's the question. The number is 263-1890, area code 608. We will accept calls if you're destitute. From Kenosha, we'll accept all calls. I don't mean to make light of that, actually. It's a tough situation down there. I wish everyone the best. This is from school, things you should have learned in school. And the question is, the living material comprising the bulk of a cell. The living material. Please, no prodding from the audience now. The living material composing the bulk of a cell, that's why you need bulk, is called, and here are the choices, A, chloroplast, B, protoplasm, or C, cytochrome.
Could you repeat those, please?
You don't have to answer this. The person out there does. Then he gets to play with you, see, in this quiz. Okay, we're looking for an answer here to living material comprising the bulk of a cell. Is it chloroplast, protoplasm, or cytochrome? All righty. Hello, Harriet. You're on the air.
Hi.
How you doing?
Oh, pretty good.
Okay, you're calling from where?
Gays Mill.
Gays Mill. Is that near Albion?
No, nowhere near Albion.
Okay, we could do a tribute to you real quick here.
I'll try B. I like B.
You like B?
Yeah.
You're right.
All
it's
right.
Protoplasm. Very good. Harriet, that's a nice name. That's a name you don't hear much any. I mean, you hear it a lot.
Right, I hear it a lot.
Yeah, Harriet this and Harriet that. You must be tired of hearing that.
Well, not too much.
Yeah.
No? What do you do out in Gays Mills?
I'm a weaver.
You're one of the weavers. One of the weavers. If I had a hand. Everyone. Okay, Harriet, you're a weaver. You work in natural fabrics and a loom.
That's right.
See, that's the definition of a weaver.
I'm sitting here doing it at this very moment.
You're weaving as we're weaving this magic over the radio, huh?
That's right.
Okay, Harriet, you know how this quiz works?
Well, I've been listening to the show, so I think I've caught on.
Okay. I'm glad I'm not listening, because I don't think I would catch on to what's going on here. I have no idea. Eric is your partner here. Eric, Harriet.
Hi, Harriet.
And Eric is in corrections, Harriet. So between the two of you, you should know just about everything. Between corrections and weaving. It's a natural. We have the categories here, odds and ends, current events, people, presidents, blah, 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 school, and science. Harriet, pick a category.
Oh, geez. Let's try current events.
Current events. All right. I'll get one right here. Just one moment, please. Oh, this is, I already use this. Who would pay $659 for an ashtray? Can't use that one. All right. This is current events. Now, this is something going on. This is right from the news the past week or two, right? 2 weeks at the most, right? Okay. At Fort Hunter in Liggett, California, soldiers taking part in an Army war game accidentally shot 74 of them when they wandered into the line of fire. What were they?
Where was it in California?
Fort Hunter. Of all places. Now, talk it over.
Okay, got any idea?
I don't know. Cows?
Cows or birds, maybe?
What'd you say?
Some kind of bird.
Fort Hunter. I don't know where that is.
I don't even.
They probably have cows and birds in Fort Hunter, I would think. It's in Liggett, California.
Goats?
let's say cows.
Okay.
Let's say cows?
Let's say.
Let's all say cows. All right, that's right. It's cattle, actually. When we started exercising all our weaponry in our final defensive unit, all the noise must have spooked them, and they turned around and came running back in, the colonel said. So naturally, they killed them. It's a defensive The best offense is a good defense, they say. So that's one right, then.
All right.
Okay, congratulations. You're doing great.
I didn't hear the bell, though. Okay.
Want to hear it again?
No.
Okay. Neither does anyone else. Yes. Harriet, tell Harriet. Do you have your radio on?
No.
I didn't think she did. No, I don't hear her feedback on it. The feedback is coming from me, I think. Engineers are so picky around here. They put carpet under everything here. Do you notice that? So I won't drum my fingers on the table. Okay, I'll tell you what, Eric. You pick the next category.
Okay.
Not presidents. We have science school. Presidents, people, odds and ends, and current events.
Well, no one's had odds and ends yet. Let's try that.
No one's had odds and ends yet.
I don't think.
Theory. Okay. You two talk this over. What, according to the Phobia Society of America, what is the leading American phobia?
Do we get a multiple choice
yes,
on this?
Yes, you do.
Oh, good.
It would be tough, wouldn't it? I mean, we have so many as a nation. All right. What is the leading American phobia? Is it A, fear of heights, B, fear of snakes, or C, fear of snakes at heights? No. C, fear of public speaking.
Say heights.
Now you got to talk it over.
Well, it's either
what
heights
do you think,
or
Eric?
I think it's either heights or public speaking. Are you afraid right now?
Me, no.
Oh, okay. then maybe we should go with heights then.
Okay.
I guess that's our answer is heights.
You said heights? I'm sorry, it's public speaking.
Oh.
No, the bell is on. But can't have the bell mean all things to all people.
I guess that'll show me to be afraid, huh?
Yeah, all right, well, that's all right. He's got more chances here. You've got more chances here. It's the plural where I come from. Okay, who picked the last category? You did.
I did.
So, Harriet, pick a category, any category.
Oh, jeez. What I should have learned in school.
What you should have learned in school. You should have learned about phobias in school. Oh, this is an interesting question here. This is a demonstration question. There it is. Give me a lateral fricative.
A what?
Give me a lateral... all right. I'll give you a break is what I'll give you. Hey.
Great.
I'll give you a different question. Anyone know what a lateral fricative is on hand? I wrote that, and I didn't know what it was, so I put the... I haven't written all... KC has written most of the questions. All right. Give me an example of a spoonerism. Give me an example of a spoonerism.
How do you spell that word?
That's not the question. You don't have to spell the word. Just give me an example of a spoonerism. S-P-O-O-N-E-R-ism. Talk it over now.
A spoonerism.
I don't know. Does that mean you're from Spooner, Wisconsin?
Maybe it's something that rhymes or something.
Or else...
See, if you would have paid attention now. A spoonerism. Everyone here knows what a spooner is. Can someone give me one? Our what? Right, I'm glad you're in the back row. Thanks very much.
Did you hear that, Eric?
That's an example. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, Harriet?
No.
Just as well. Here's another example.
That's what Eric's there for.
What?
That's what Eric's there for.
For hearing things in the back row? You
right.
Didn't want to hear this.
Well, I did hear, yes.
But don't repeat it, all right? Okay. You're
on,
not to repeat
partner.
That.
Okay.
Sorry, that was stronger than I meant to hit you. I'm sorry, I was my mother for a minute there. I don't know what came over. Does that happen to you? Are you occasionally your mother for no reason whatsoever? Sometimes I find a tomato in the store and I just squeeze it. Oh, I'm my mother.
I'll say something that rhymes.
No, you're already wrong. We know that. You're wrong.
Oh, well.
Here's an example, like tons of soil or sons of toil. It's that kind of reversal. Okay. All right. Okay.
We're one and two now?
You're one and two on the season so far. Eric, is it your turn to pick a category? Or
I think
to pick
so.
One. Okay.
Science.
Science. Wait a minute, I got to have a drink of water.
Okay.
I can't do this and drink water.
Are you good at science, Harriet?
Well, I don't know. Depends on the question.
Oh, I picked a school question. Pardon me?
Pick a weaving science question.
All right, true or false? Thanks to the inventive genius of a scent researcher... Uh-oh. Your dog can be born permanently smelling like pizza. Is that true or false?
Well, Eric, what do you think? I think it's a trick question.
This is a giveaway.
I think it's probably false.
Well, I'll go with that.
Okay.
I'm sorry, it's true.
Oh.
It's true. Your dog can be... What? You want everyone to win, right, at all times? It's true. I mean, true or false, you had 50% chance there. It's true according to the Sun, our source here. Dr. Ralph D. Colbert developed the process by which he can inject pizza aroma into the genes of animal fetuses and have them coming out smelling like an Italian restaurant.
Tell me who made these questions up and who made up the answers.
It's all here on a card. It's got to be true. The discovery has been hailed as a major breakthrough by both veterinarians and pizza lovers alike. I think this might be a doubtful question. We'll give you another science question. All right, we'll give you one more crack at it. All right.
All right.
Be fair. All right. It's a neat idea, though, having a dog that smells like pizza. It's better than a pizza that smells like your dog. All right. Haven't you had those?
Yep.
Yeah. If the mushrooms are bad, it smells like a dog. We're running out of time. What are you when you're cryonically preserved?
Oh, I know that one. That means you're frozen. You're frozen.
Right.
You go along with that? You're right. Okay. Oops. All right. Who picks category here? Harriet, your turn, I think. I get this part mixed up.
Yeah.
You're 2-2
right
now.
Current events again.
Current events.
This is for the new car and the set of luggage?
So far, you got a mug, and that's about it.
Oh, okay.
Best we can do for here. You can have a note cube. You'd rather have a note cube. They're very attractive. The school called Patch Prep offers individual instruction in music or computers for a 2-week tuition fee of $29.95. Who are the students? This is out of the news. Patch Prep.
And what's the subject?
They offer right now instruction in music or computers in a 2-week tuition fee of $29.95. Who are the students? Come on, kids. Got to talk to each other. You know, it's no
some kind of animal, do you think?
That's what I was going to say. But what kind of animal can do computers?
Maybe cows? Something with cows.
Maybe
that's why they're
right
on the concourse. I don't know. Is that our answer?
No.
Well, what is our answer? Let's say cows. I don't know what else to say.
Let's say cows.
I like birds better.
Likes birds better than cows. You two work it out. It's not my problem.
Cows.
Cows. Seems to be feeling the cows here.
All right.
No, I'm sorry. It's not cows. It's Cabbage Patch Dolls. Of course, it's offered for...
Patch.
There was the key word there. Patch. Patch. Don't hiss. This is wonderful radio. Patch Prep is a boarding school for dolls operated out of Shirley Demeter, housewife in Branford, Connecticut's home. Patch Prep. I'm sorry, you don't win, but you do win consolation prizes. We're going to send you out some various paraphernalia here that we
wonderful,
have.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Wisconsin
you.
Public Radio. Thanks
that's
very much
for
playing.
That's all I get for this long-distance phone call?
You get... We'll give you a mug. We'll give you the cube here. We'll give you all kinds of neat little stuff. Don't worry about it. You'll come out almost even.
Okay?
Okay. Thanks a lot for playing. A lot of fun.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Eric, nice meeting you.
Thank you. Pleasure.
We're rapidly running out of time here. I want to thank you for listening. We'll be back again next week and try it again. Basic format will remain the same. If you're in Madison, by the way, stop down. We're in beautiful Vilas Hall where Park Street caresses University Avenue. So does Johnson. It's kind of a menage going on out there right on the streets at this very moment, so I'm going out there and check it out.
Our thanks to the Cafe Palms for the coffee and the muffins this morning and to Ready Rents on Odana Road for the paper products, and thanks to Donna Peckett for her help. Thanks to you, our audience. Our engineering staff was Al Reelan, Don C., Mike DeMarc, Mike Burns, Barbara Deming, Ken Rainier, some volunteers, Bob Lenz and Monique Dawson. The ECB and the Wisconsin Public Radio Association helped us a lot. Next week, we salute Fond du Lac, and we will celebrate
tune in for that sounds
National Carp Week and get a lesson in footwear from Sheila Lindell, a model, along with a quiz or two. So tune in again next Saturday at 11:05 and see if we're still here on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks for joining me for the very first What Do You Know from June 1st, 1985, kicking off our Funny You Don't Look 30 celebration. That was my good friend and classy guy Jim Packard on voice, John Tooling on piano. I'm Michael Feldman, for want of a better term. What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio, and I'm the producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer with help from Chris Myshak, Lyle Anderson, Diana Cook, Kelly Osborne, and Megan Hannis. Our technical director is Tom Lane with help from Brad Kohlberg and Aubrey Ralph. This is PRI, Public Radio International.
PRI, Public Radio International.